the spiritual teaching or teacher, if it is true, says, okay, do you realize that you don't need to suffer anymore? Are you fed up enough with suffering? Or would you like to hang on to suffering? Anybody who's come here today has already suffered enough. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. So in a way, your suffering has been wonderful because it's taken you to this point. I know that I wouldn't be sitting here without having had dreadful suffering and pain. So it's taken you here. And now the message that comes is further suffering is not necessary if you voluntarily step into the new state of consciousness. You choose the kingdom of heaven. Life doesn't have to drag you into it, kick you into the kingdom of heaven. It's painful. It did that to me. But now my job is to tell people that you don't have to wait for that to happen to you. Choose the new state, and you're able to do that. I wouldn't tell this to anybody, but not anybody comes here. If you come here, your level of consciousness, the new consciousness, is sufficiently emerged already for you to understand what I mean when I say you can choose to live in the state that is free of suffering. You can choose the state in which suffering is not possible anymore. Unhappiness does not arise. Not a state in which you close yourself and you become, okay, nothing can touch me anymore. Protective shell, nothing to do with that, because if nothing can touch, if you have a protective shell around you, that means all the beautiful and good things can't touch you anymore either. That's not what it is. It's a state of complete openness, a state of such intense presence that unhappiness has nowhere to cling to anymore. Because unhappiness can only cling to a mentally made sense of self, a little me, past, which moves continuously in past and future and continuously ignores the now. So the realization that in the now there are no problems and there is no unhappiness. And the unhappy me that lives through past and future dissolves as you become present. That's the teaching. That's the very same message that the Buddha gave 2,600 years ago, and a few people got it. And then misinterpretation started, because the mind started getting in there and say, okay, let's work this out. What does it really mean? How can we categorize it? How can we make a system out of that? So a heavy superstructure of mind stuff arose on top of the beautiful teaching. Do we need some air? Some air may be nice. Yeah. So this always happens. The mind tries to get in there, and so the heaviness of religion arises on top of the purity and simplicity of the original teaching. And this is the simplicity of the original teaching. We are going back to that. Freedom from pain is possible now. Now, first that means you understand how pain arises. It arises by not being present to this moment, by running away, by fighting, by denying, by running away internally from what is. So that's how pain arises. Always. When you accept what is, the new state of consciousness immediately is present. So you can't separate acceptance of what is from the new state of thoughtless awareness. The moment you fully accept what is, the new state of thoughtless awareness is present. The whole mind stuff is resisting what is. Its very existence, the very ground for its existence, is the continuous state of resistance to what is. So resistance to what is and the old consciousness go together. So our practice is to not resist what is and thereby access the power of life. And yet, that may not immediately free you of all pain and suffering, because humans have been in that state for many thousands of years, and there is an energy field of pain that every human being inherits simply by the very fact that you are born into the human condition, into the unenlightened, painful human condition, in ultimately mad human condition up to this point. You are born into that, so every human being has a share of human pain that comes even from very... As you are born into this world, you are already born with a burden of pain. So this is a very important part of our practice and realization. This is not a facile thing of saying, okay, from now on we can all be happy. It goes deeper than that, and we are not running away also, we are not running away from the fact that in you there lives an energy field of residue of past human pain. On a personal level, pain from childhood that leaves residues, energetic residues, different things, painful things that happened to you in childhood, and of course far beyond that in time. But let's just talk from the level of your present existence in this form. Pain that is carried over from your childhood and beyond, and doesn't go away completely, it leaves residues of pain and energy fields. Everything is energy. Then those energy fields get together because they feel they vibrate at the same frequency. So emotional pain gathers into one mass of pain, contracted energy that isn't flowing freely, an energy of that I call the pain body that humans carry inside, an energy field of pain. And it's, if you don't recognize that, no matter how much spiritual practice you do, and even what we are doing here, if you do not see, if you do not recognize how the pain body operates, it will trick you every time and you will lose consciousness through it. So I want to address it now. After our break, I will invite questions especially connected with dealing with the pain body in yourself and how to bring presence to it. So first we realize there is an energy field of pain in me that may manifest either as turbulence, anger, heaviness, like depression, tightness, fear. Whatever way it manifests, it's not pleasant, it's painful, it's past pain residues, but very much alive still. You carry it inside, but you're not always conscious of it. And I talk about it briefly in one chapter of the book, so we go into it a little bit more deeply now. And now there's the added energy of presence that we take into the pain body. The pain body is sometimes dormant and sometimes active. It becomes active when you suddenly feel it very strongly, when it needs to feed on further experience of pain, as it always has to do regularly, like it's a little entity almost. It needs feeding temporarily on the experience of further pain. And you will know that this has happened when a relatively insignificant trigger produces an incredible outburst reaction of pain. A minor thing goes wrong, or somebody says something, or your partner does something or says something, and there's suddenly a deep, or even a thought comes in, and suddenly it serves as a trigger for an immense, the arising of deep emotional pain. At that moment, the pain body, this energy field, has come up out of its dormant state. It is ready to feed on more pain. It produces first two ways in which it, I haven't quite put it that clearly in the book, I'll explain it in the next book. There are two ways in which it produces, it feeds on the further, because it's all you can feed on. You cannot, the pain body consists of that energy of pain. It needs, please, where can I get more pain? It feeds on your thoughts when it's ready to rise up. It will control your thinking. It rises into the mind. And the mind, which is your thought activity, becomes aligned with the pain body. Every thought you think is destructive and painful. And the pain body loves it. It gobbles up the energy of every thought that you think, every destructive and deeply negative thought. It eats it up, so to speak. And it's having a good time. It's feeding. And at that moment, one way of putting it is, one could say that is the addictive quality of human pain. Addictive because it loves its pain. When the pain body has taken you over and has succeeded in pretending that that's who you are, all your thinking is completely aligned with it, and it's feeding on it. At that very moment, the least thing you want, the last thing you want, is to be free of pain. At that moment, pain is what you want, because at that moment you are the pain body. And anybody who tells you that if I came into your life at that moment and gave you this message that a life free from pain is possible, you would hit me over the head. Because the pain body would be there, and I would be talking to the pain body, and the pain body would be talking back at me. So the pain body needs to come in periodically, and you all have experienced it with partners, finding the ideal partner, and after a few weeks realizing that there's another side to them, that periodically they become a little monster. And then thinking, oh, I must have made a dreadful mistake. You haven't. Everybody has a pain body, including yourself. But it's a bit more difficult to see the little monster coming up in yourself. Now, the pain body will use your thinking. It will feed on your negative and destructive thinking. It can go on. Now, how long the feeding time lasts of a particular pain body varies greatly from person to person. It could be a pain body that feeds very quickly, could be an hour or two. Some pain bodies have a feeding time of several weeks, even months. That's extreme. And in very extreme cases, there are some pain bodies that have virtually no dormant stage. They are continuously feeding and active, but that's more rare, but also happens. You sometimes meet people who are, and you look into their eyes and you can see the pain body is looking at you through their eyes, and they are waiting for an excuse to have more. Do they want you to give them a painful reaction? They want you to be angry with them. They want you to attack them. That's people who are totally possessed by the pain body. So, level one, the pain body feeds on your thinking. Level two, pain body feeds on the feedback of emotional pain from other people. So it will not only use your thinking, it might even predominantly use somebody else's reactions. In relationships, when the pain body is ready to arise and feed, it will provoke a reaction in your partner, or the partner does it to you, pushes the right buttons because it wants pain. The pain body loves the drama. This is why drama is an essential part of most relationships. The pain body needs feeding, and you could be saying, suddenly it comes in. At the slightest trigger, there it is. So it feeds on the other person's reaction, and that's where drama arises in the relationship. And it'll give me more pain, please. And the mind is aligned with it, so the mind will find wonderful ways of rationalizing why it'll add to it through heated discussions or shouting matches. So it's totally, and then the other person's pain body awakens, and the two feed on each other until feeding time is over. And the two pain bodies subside, go to sleep, digesting the food. And then the relationship for a while is harmonious again. And then the cycle starts again. So, pain body feeding on thinking, pain body feeding on other people's reactions. Now, I mentioned last night the unhappy me, a mind pattern that people are identified with, an unhappy sense of self. This mind pattern, when the pain body is active, becomes amplified. Its energy, the energy of the unhappy me, when the pain body moves into that mind pattern that already has been telling you your life isn't good enough and so on, and you may not make it, and life has passed me by, and so on. Now the pain body moves into that mind pattern, and its energy gets amplified 10 times, 20 times, 50 times, 100 times. In other words, the unhappy me, when the pain body arises and flows into that mind structure, the emotion flows into the mind structure, the unhappy sense of me becomes dreadfully unhappy and loves its unhappiness, because that's what it consists of. Now, all that it is not a foreign body that lives in you. It is, there's nothing that is not life energy. Even the pain body is life energy, except that it isn't flowing freely. It's got stuck somewhere. And when energy gets stuck and cannot flow freely, pain arises. Like a river, if a river cannot flow, the water accumulates and pressure accumulates. But it's really, it's beautiful life energy. The water is still beautiful, but there's pressure accumulating inside. That's what the pain body is. Now, as we bring presence, this consciousness, into the pain body, it can no longer fool you into completely identifying with it. The presence, as the pain arises, from now on, you, and many of you are already practicing that, pain arises, the pain body comes up, and at that moment you will recognize it as the pain body. That's the beginning of freedom from it. The recognition, when it comes, slight trigger, provocation, even a thought, deep pain arises in whatever form. In some people it's a very active pain, active aggressive pain. In other persons it's a passive form of pain, poor little me victim pain. Doesn't matter which pain bodies have different qualities in different people. It may be turbulence or heaviness or tightness or constriction. It doesn't matter what it is. As it arises, you will know there is a witnessing presence. And you watch, oops, there's the pain body. And you feel the energy field of it in your body. Often you can feel it in the solar plexus or stomach area, sometimes in the belly, as a dreadful sense of, oh, heaviness, or some people perceive it as a big hole, some gaping hole inside. Oh. Or it may be intense anger. But whatever it is, if you watch it, this is why sitting here is so helpful, because the witnessing presence, which is part of this new state of consciousness, gets so much strengthened simply by sitting in this energy field. The watcher will be there watching the pain, so the pain cannot use your mind anymore. It cannot feed on your thinking because you're watching it directly. It cannot creep into your mind and then become an unhappy me. So all that's left of the pain is an energy field of turbulence or heaviness, but the pain has not become an unhappy me, an unhappy sense of self, of who you are. That's the beginning of the end of the pain. But our practice is allowing what is to be, and that also applies as long as the pain body is there in you, allowing the pain that is there in you also to be. That is a very powerful practice. So I'm not saying we are not fighting the pain, we are not even trying to get rid of it. You bring the consciousness, which is a very compassionate state of allowing what is. It's a very powerful state. It implies you are present as the one who is able to allow. You are the one who is able to allow the pain to be. You know you're not creating this pain at this moment because you practice accepting what is. So it's not pain that you are creating, it's old pain. You bring the acceptance to the old pain. This wonderful state, this powerful practice, it does not just concern what happens to you externally, allowing this moment to be as it is. It includes the arising of pain in the pain body. You watch it, feel it, allow it. So you bring presence into it. You meet, the presence meets the pain body. Here's the pain body, and there comes the silent space of presence. Okay. And you hold the state of presence as the turbulence happens. Then the pain body is not replenishing itself. You've cut the link between the pain body and your thought processes. It's not feeding on your thinking anymore. You're watching it. Now, the best time to catch it and watch it is as it first arises in you, when you first notice it arising, to immediately become very alert with every cell of your body and feel it. There it is. And stay alert. Stay present. Continue to watch. This is the beginning of the transmutation of pain. The more you watch, the less it can feed. It loses its energy charge every time you stay present as the watcher of it. It's not gaining new energy. In fact, it's losing energy as the pain body, but the very energy that was trapped in there as the pain body becomes part of the aliveness of who you are. Many people's life energy is, to a large extent, trapped in their pain body. They have little access to their aliveness because the pain absorbs so much of their aliveness, and it's all trapped in there, in a big unhappy me, and nothing is flowing. There's no flow whatsoever. There's only a huge contraction. Many human beings are one big contraction. It's amazing. The egoic state is one big contracted state. Nothing flows. And as the energy becomes freed that's in the pain body, there's an incredible increase in aliveness and vitality. And of course, pain goes. It will not go the very first time you do it. You will have to do it many times. Many times it will try to arise again, and it will arise. Many times you will lose it. You will lose yourself in it again. That's right. It's all part of this. There will be times when it will take you over again. And afterwards you remember, oh, there it was, and I missed it completely. You might have gone through 3 hours of drama with your partner, and afterwards you say, oh, that was the pain body. I missed it completely. That's all right. Next time maybe you'll catch it and know that it's there. The good thing is that the pain body becomes actually your ally in your presence practice, because without it, very few people would have enough motivation to enter the new state of consciousness. Every time the pain body comes, until you know this fact, the pain body will trick you every time and you will lose consciousness every time. But now that you know this, whenever it comes, it becomes incorporated into your practice of presence. So the more often it comes, the better it is. You're lucky. If you have a strong pain body, you're lucky. It's good for your practice. It can become a great teacher. That is the most powerful part of your practice, is to work with the pain body and see how quickly the transmutation happens when it no longer is an unhappy me. It's simply pain. Not pleasant, But you can allow it, and there's an incredible intensification of presence every time you bring it to the pain body. Now, those of you who have very dense or heavy pain bodies will need more intense presence. Most people who are that I know who have gone to become almost free of pain, there are not yet many who are completely free, but there will be, are people who have had very dense pain bodies because their motivation is stronger to be free. In Eastern terms, we are talking about karma. Karma really, ultimately, is all the conditioning from the past, including the past pain, that you mistakenly believe is who you are. Karma is to be identified with all past conditioning and to be condemned to relive and act out continuously your past conditioning. So pain body is an aspect, an important aspect of karma. So what we are addressing here is going beyond the unconsciousness that is karma. What we are talking about here is actually the dissolving of karma. There would be no end to karma otherwise, because it renews itself. That's why it's often likened to a wheel. It renews itself continuously. This is an end to pain, an end to suffering. All the questions after the break, I'm sure there will be quite a few. Use your relationships in your practice and realize that no matter who you choose as your partner, they will have a pain body. Don't look for the ideal partner without a pain body. And that's good. And use the relationship, because it's so much easier to become aware of your own pain body in a relationship than if you live alone. Great opportunity for practice. And we'll address that in a little bit more detail perhaps after the break. If both of you understand how it works, you could have an agreement that you will help each other when the pain body arises in the other person, so that the other can stay very, very present. Instead of going into reactivity, stay very, very present. And if the partner gets taken over by the pain body, stay so present that you allow it, without reacting and thinking that that's who that person is, allowing it. If your partner doesn't want to cooperate, you just do it for yourself. It only takes one person, ultimately, to be free. It's great if he or she does. For many women, pain body arises as the approaching menstrual cycle comes. I mentioned it briefly in the book. Because there's so much collective female pain, one aspect of pain body is collective human pain. Now, collective may be the pain of a nation that you belong to. Certain nations have more of a heaviness to them than other nations. The New World has relatively less heaviness to it than the Old World. Because the Old World, Europe, Asia to some extent, there's so much past there. There's so much, the heaviness of past, and the heaviness of past pain is very much apparent. Certain countries, you just get off the plane, and if you're sensitive, you feel the energy field of the collective pain body. Eastern Europe, in many countries, you can feel it when the moment you step Germany, I feel it the moment I step off the plane. Russia. And so every individual who lives, part of their pain body is the collective pain body. So it's not just a person. Pain body is never a personal problem of yours, it's the human condition. It's your share in the human condition, not a personal problem. There are no personal problem. Every pain that you have in your life is your share of the human condition manifesting in a particular form. So there's the one aspect of the collective pain body is the nation, the national. United States has some pain body, but less karma. There's less karma here than European states, and certainly some European states. And even such a thing as a relatively short-lived, like Vietnam War or something, adds a bit to the collective pain body, the experience. 50,000 men killed in some distant country, and Secretary of State at that time in his autobiography now says, well, in retrospect, it was probably a mistake. Human madness, just one more manifestation of human madness. But if you, and some of you were actually, I know, had to go there and suffer pain there, and that's fine, you work with that now. Now there's also female pain, collective pain body. Just as there's a male collective pain body, the female collective pain body that every woman partakes in has to do with dreadful pain suffered particularly through women being treated as slaves and as worthless property for thousands of years. Not always. There was a time before that when women had their rightful place. But for thousands of years in most countries, women became victim of the patriarchal mind-dominated state of consciousness. So that becomes particularly pronounced when the menstrual cycle starts, the very thing that is your the femininity in you on the biological level is very painful. It awakens the female pain body just as it happens. And this is in the old traditional teachings in Buddhism, they say no, women can never make it. They can't become enlightened because every time they go through their cycle, they lose consciousness. So they say, okay, we'll have to exclude women. And they did. And so it's become more and more lifeless by doing that. And it's become more and more mind-dominated. The very fact is that the opposite is true. If women can use that, knowing that that is the time particularly when the pain body arises and become present at that time, it will be through that that women become very quickly now free of their pain body by bringing presence into, especially when the pain body arises at the approaching menstrual cycle, bring presence into that and become very alert. Watch the pain arising. Watch it. Allow it to be. Be compassionate towards it, which is what the allowing is. Be compassionate, the compassionate one who allows the pain to be and who is able to hold it, to hold the turbulence. And it's the state of presence is always a gentle embracing of what is. It's bringing a gentleness to it, which is a very powerful gentleness. Bringing the gentleness to it and embracing what is and holding it in that embrace. And you stay present as you hold your pain the pain and watch the turbulence of it. Hold it. The more you hold it, the stronger, very, very quickly, your sense of presence grows much, much stronger as you hold the pain. And the pain will slowly lessen. But it no longer matters, because your acceptance of the pain is so total, you're not making that moment into a means to an end because I want to get to the end of my pain. Your acceptance of pain is complete, and that's where your spiritual power lies, in fully accepting it. But of course now, it hasn't become you. It hasn't become an unhappy me. You are fully there. You're fully present with it. You fully accept that there is the pain body vibrating in you. And you may have to hold that pain for quite a while when the cycle comes. It can go on for a few days. And hold, bring presence to it. You may occasionally lose it and then remember again and be present with it again. By losing it, I mean it may succeed in moving into your mind and control your thinking again. And then suddenly you remember and you hold it, holding it. So that pain becomes incredible teacher, and every time it happens, you bring the presence to it. That's why women are going, there's always more women coming to consciousness groups than men. Women will move forward more quickly now than men. I've seen that. I'm seeing it all the time. And part of the reason is that they'll be able to work with their pain bodies, which up to now has been a great obstacle, now becomes a great help as you bring the presence to it. Men still are less in touch with their bodies. More women, of course, are also in the mind, but men even more deeply entrenched in their mind structures. So there's a different, they of course also have pain bodies, but the predominant thing for men is identification with their head. The predominant thing for women is identification with pain body. So these are just the focal points. Wonderful practice. And I'd love to know, after the break, those of you who have already been practicing after reading the book, how you're doing, and what obstacles there are, where it is becoming difficult, or any questions that arise out of that. But this practice is so easy and so wonderful and so powerful that it's amazing that it's taken humans so long to get to this point. But transformation can be very quick now, very quick. So make your pain body into your ally. Your pain body is not your enemy. When you make it into an enemy, that's the old mind thing starting over and making even the pain body into a problem. How can I get rid of it?